I understand, and I would like to talk about the same issue. So it's my turn, right?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I think we need to, my idea is a little bit different. We need to start thinking about individual radio stations, but more of as the foundation. So it's always the same. A company has a branch in Oklahoma and has a branch in New York. They both don't make the same amount of money, and sometimes the one branch helps the other one. And it's the same thing with us. It's nothing new, really. What needs to be new is for us to think as a foundation, not as an individual radio station. And I think, first and foremost, what I see is we need to have a national approach, number one. Two, what is it that we are in? We are in a business of communication. We are in a business of information and disseminating information to a segment of society. And I think one plan that would bring us sufficient money is to get speakers going around the nation at five radio stations to give talks for a few purposes. Number one, will attract more listeners and subscribers. Number two, we can raise money by having events. Number three, I think one of the idea is to have private gatherings with our speakers for a substantial amount of money. For Pacifica, that means people would give $1,000 to attend any gathering of that magnitude. The other thing is really we, as of the finance community, I think we need to communicate and propose ideas with changing of the programming, professionalization of the management, as we have spoken in different language about this, and really just bringing Pacifica back up to the par of what's out there. In other words, social media, many platforms of communication, be it video, podcasting, this and that. These are the things that we really are not up to par. We are behind. And we need to come up with a concrete plan to be implemented. And that's all I have to say.
Anyone else?
Well, Bill again. Well, let everybody else speak if somebody else wants to say something.
Well, I wouldn't mind being able to say a couple things, Bill, if you don't mind, and turn it back to you. It's okay.
Go ahead.
What's challenging is that this committee doesn't have any real power to execute on anything that people are suggesting. The power lies in the national board, and we are recommending of solutions, but we don't have the say-so to make any of the things that we see as insights happen. It's basically a lobbying campaign of people that are on the national board. There are a number of things that can be done and a number of suggestions that could be taken, but there's no mechanism to make those happen, and there's no accountability to get any of that done. And so what's challenging is we can spend a lot of time having these discussions, but there isn't anything that empowers us to take the action on a national level as being suggested. It appears that the only place to take action is on the local level, or where the stations do have a bit of control of how they operate. But the bottom line, I believe, is that that stations have to embrace underwriting, that the listenership in all areas only produces a hand-to-mouth budget, and that a concerted effort on getting sponsors and underwriting from like-minded organizations, foundations, businesses that we would find acceptable is perhaps the only solution to adding money on an ongoing basis to the local stations that could feed the national needs. Notwithstanding trying to adjust programming on a local level, that seems to be a much more difficult thing to accomplish. But you could hire people whose job it was to go out and secure underwriting, banner ads on websites, etc. And that would be a place for revenue that I don't think has the attention. But that has to be directed and executed at a local level, because I just don't see the national board ever coming to an agreement on anything substantial enough in the short term that will address really the issues. So I don't mean to be disagreeable, Mansoor, but the local stations embracing going out and getting underwriting that could feed the national office seems to be an easier way to accomplish the goal of more money versus a national strategy, which the foundation doesn't really seem to be capable of creating.
Okay. Ken to the stack.
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
All right. Who was the last speaker?
It was Nick Arena, Ken.
Okay, thank you. Yes, even if we get my comment would be on that is, even if we were to get underwriting, I see two barriers to that. One is we have a 10-year history of declining listenership, and we don't have that major part of the market that most underwriters are interested in, because we're not really communicating to millennials. We're just mostly, a majority of our market is currently, it depends on the city you're in, but it's like baby boomers who are nostalgic about the 60s. And it's declining. It's a declining listenership. So if I was looking to underwrite something, which is a form of advertisement, I would look to other public radio stations that have an increasing market, not a declining market. Also, if a lot of underwriting comes from capitalist corporate-type entities, there are some nonprofits, that's true, but and they may want to do underwriting for the purpose of general positioning with the public. But generally speaking, it's corporations, and there are some foundations. Anyhow, I'm just saying that a lot of our programming is offensive to many capitalist or corporate organizations. And again, it's not necessarily something that would look like a good perspective for them. The clientele, the people who would do underwriting, I think, is a limited market, and we don't have much of a service to provide to them because we have a declining listenership. Now, also, the other problem with underwriting is it compromises our integrity, because once they get their foot in the door, eventually, indirectly through self-censorship or whatever, it starts to control your content and what you cover. But it is, I'm not really super criticizing this, because the point is, if the door is closed because we're out of business, then it doesn't really matter that we refused underwriting and, we went out of business and there's no signal on the air. So you may have to compromise and deal with an unpleasant situation to solve it. However, I seriously believe that the problem with the stations are self-inflicted and really not too difficult to resolve, because what we have is, and I'm going to use as many euphemisms as I can so I don't offend anybody who's listening into this meeting, We have programming.
Speak directly, please. Speak directly. Don't worry, Ken. Just say what's on your mind.
Well, I know. There's a public out there. But the point is, our programming, you know, I could be very happy to listen to a programming about boots for pussycats. But I'm too small a part of the market. So a lot of our programming may have dedicated listeners, but it's too small a part of the public. We are not in any market we're in the five major cities we're in, we are not in the top 50 stations in any of those markets. Other public radio stations are. In L.A., there's two public radio stations that run like number 15 and number 23 in the queue. We're below ranking. We don't show up on the chart at all. We are not delivering material that the public wants to listen to, okay? And a lot of our programmers are not concerned about that. They're more concerned about what they believe in that they want to promulgate. So the problem is we have to shift from a radio station that provides a platform for people to espouse information to a platform that delivers information that the public is interested in and increase our listenership. The beginning of this is very, very simple. Through various statistics, even though we don't have Nielsen's, we can see what programs are more popular than others. We can tell by donations from the fund drive, and we can tell by number of hits on the website for people to download content. And all we have to do is increase the exposure of those programs. That's number one. It's the simplest, easy thing to do. And other public radio stations do. If you have a popular program, play it again in another time slot or on another day. That's easy. There's no effort involved. And we have to move our scheduling so that during drive time, and that's when the public is there, like four times more than the rest of the time, okay? It's 4-1. That's drive time is, you know, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's where the traffic is, and that's where we have to have our most popular, motivating programs. And I'm going to tell you this, seriously, I know, I'm at KPFK. We have the opportunity to broadcast of a national figure who's popular, who gets a lot of listeners, but it means knocking off some of our local programmers who don't get that much listenership. So it's hurtful. However, we do not live in a country where the state provides funding for public radio. This is not the BBC. We have to pay our bills. We are burdened sometimes with mistakes from the past where people signed inappropriate leases and so forth. You know, forget about blame. We're in that situation. So to stay on the air, we have to become positive, productive. We don't need money. We need income. We don't need money from selling signals, selling property. We may have to do that in the interim. But we need income, and income is something you get for exchanging a valuable product. There are podcasts, there are programs, there are TV shows that each one of you look forward to listening to every week. And we have to find that kind of content that has a larger audience, okay? And it doesn't mean we have to do Entertainment Tonight all the time. But it does mean we may have to do reviews of movies. That's right. And it does mean we may have to have a program about the stock market. We have to know what people are listening to and get that audience and stop on this self-righteous attitude that we're here to educate the public on the correct political position on things, even if they don't want to hear it. And we have to suffer because the public is too stupid to listen to our programming. We have to come off of that. That's a very negative viewpoint. We have to produce and broadcast popular programming, and not necessarily we don't have to produce it. We just have to broadcast it. And that means there are programs, there are lots of them. Some of them we already broadcast, and I'm not going to go through the naming of them. There's lots of material that's available that we can broadcast that's popular that will increase our listenership. And by increasing the listenership to, let's say, four times, it's not difficult. It can be done because we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom, so there's nothing but up from here. We can increase our listenership by four times, and that'll probably increase our income by 30, 40, 50%. And that'll handle the cash flow, and that'll get us out of these problems. But if you're going to say we're going to do it by heavy production, we're going to get celebrities in, and we're going to have a big studio, and we're going to do this and that, that costs money, and we're not going to make that happen. And we can't afford to pay for it. But we can broadcast other content. So I'm just saying it's a question of changing the programming. It's very simple. We have to change the programming to make to broadcast things that people want to listen to.
Okay, I'm going to call on me here. I would agree with some of what Ken says there. It is the programming. It has always been the programming. And the way I've put it in the past is it's a radio. Each individual one is a radio station. And the radio station, if you look at it from a business perspective, it has a product. The only real product of the radio station is the air. And if you have a product and it's not selling, then you either need to get a different product you're going to sell, or you need to upgrade the product you have, change it somehow so that the product you have becomes more attractive to potential customers. We can't change our product. It is the air. We're stuck with that. So we do have to upgrade this. One of the issues I know at a certain station is training for on-air staff. There are people who really need training. Doing radio is not a case of, why don't you come on over here, and I like what you wrote on a web page. You have a radio program. Go get it. And that's your training. Well, I've observed that not to work. And I think that's something that goes on in more than one station in Pacifica. And a lot of the issues that we're talking about here relate to people in charge, the management of radio stations, and what that management is capable of. And I think management capabilities is one of the major issues in Pacifica. And I'm not going to make too fine a point on any of this, but I think it's throughout Pacifica, and that is a very big issue. And I think that, to some degree, really prevents some of what's being suggested here from going forward. So there are a number of issues, and they're serious. And if somebody has a really great idea for how to go ahead and raise lots of money real fast, they should put it forth, maybe as a motion, or maybe we should make it for next time. We'll talk about that. But I certainly know from past experience that I am not a great fundraiser, because I'll pick something super esoteric that three people would show up for, all right? Anyway, anybody have anything else on this?
Bill,
go ahead.
You know, I agree with just about everything everybody's been saying. We do need to improve our programming. We also need to promote our programming more. We need ways of doing that. And we can't wait. We can't wait much longer. We keep talking about it. We can't do much on it. I'll just point out that at least KPFT and WPFW gets a really high percentage of their revenue, their donations, from music programs. And while a lot of us are maybe more interested in the public affairs programs, we have to recognize that those music shows subsidize a lot of the public affairs shows that we all like. And so in some ways that's okay. I mean, Ken's right, and our poll also, if people aren't listening, we need to do something about the programming, because it's not serving our mission to have programs that people are not listening to, no matter how good we think they might be. But we have to have enough good programs that people will support financially in order to pay the bills. Doesn't have to be 100% of the time, but you need enough of them so we can pay our bills. And I think that's going to be really critical. And I remember this committee passed a motion last summer. We were having trouble with central services payments, requiring that for each station, the GMs, to make central services the number three priority after payroll and health insurance premiums. And yet we're still having trouble with that. I know KPFA, K, and KPFT are doing all right with the central services. WPFW is doing better. I think they've been paying every month, at least in the last several months. Maybe Sam can correct me. WBI, I know, is still way behind. Last time I checked, they had paid 3 months out of the last 15. So we're since the beginning, since the end of FY16. And so, I mean, that's a problem. And that's still while paying zero on the tower rent. And I agree that I think Ken says something, we can't, or maybe Mansoor, we need to help each other out. I'm not trying to say WBI has to come up with $65,000 a month to pay the tower lease. I mean, this was sort of imposed on them. But they should be paying all their other bills and contributing at least what the other stations are paying for their own tower rental. And if any other station is not doing something equivalent, we need to make adjustments there also. But anyway, I do have a motion, and I will mail it to you. Let me read it, and then I'll mail it. The NFC recommends to the PNB that they ask the ID and CFO to produce a short plan with appendices if needed within 3 weeks for how Pacifica can significantly increase revenue, decrease expenses, and increase listeners with the goal of becoming and staying current with all financial obligations before the end of FY18 and paying off Pacifica's debt within a few years. Amendments are welcome, but I'll send this to you now.
Yeah, send that out right now because we are, I think we've done our 30 minutes on this, and we're going to need to extend if anybody wants to debate this. Okay, and I'm going to go up on the Yahoo website to get this down as rapidly as I can because I don't have it written down yet.
Well, it should go in your inboxes because I just sent it to the
That doesn't
Yahoo Group's list.
So fast.
Oh,
okay. Did you send it to the list or to the individuals?
Yes, to the list. To the list.
Okay, so let me. It's not hitting my email yet. So I will go. Oh crap! Yahoo is doing its thing again. All right, I do have to wait for it to hit the mail. All right, without it. Being visually in front of us, does anybody want to make a motion to extend for this motion?
Yeah, I can make the motion to extend.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can extend for 10 minutes.
Okay, the motion is to extend this item for 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, marking that as passed without objection, and for the motion.
Ken, to the stack about the motion.
Okay, go ahead, Ken.
This is a Santa Claus motion. Everybody's going to live forever and get everything they want and never upset anybody, This is like, send it along to Santa Claus. Would the IED please come up with a magic formula to solve all our problems? A, that's what an IED does, so you don't even have to ask them. And B, it's just, I think you left out, didn't solve the conflict in Syria. I would have put that in there, too. And get rid of the global warming. I mean, it's just a silly motion. It's got nothing specific. You want the IED to come up with a plan. That's the statement. I would think, and this is just my comment on it, I would think that the IED, the Bill Crozier, who was the IED for like over a year, right, and the CFO, have a lot of awareness of the operations of the network, and specifically the finances. I know that they've been buried underneath calamities that have been occurring, But I know that Bill was also working there when I was there, when we were working on the financial audit thing, the FRAT, and we looked at these things too. So a plan, and you know, one of the things we already did was got somebody who works with a turnaround firm, somebody who has experience in improving radio stations, that's Tom Livingston. So the idea there, that's a good solution, let Tom Livingston come up with a plan. But to just to ask for a magical plan is, I don't know, I think it's a pointless, it's sort of like saying, you know, it's sort of like when the president say, I want you to go home and pray. That's all, that's my comment.
And I have the motion, it's hitting emails, and it is also up on the Yahoo list. I want to say something too, but does anybody else want to go before me?
Yeah, I'd like to speak in favor of the motion.
Hey, go ahead.
And Bill is quite right. WPFW often charts in the top 25 stations and as high as top 20. And I think it's largely because of the combination of public affairs but and music. The music programming on Saturdays and Sundays in D.C. Is the highest income generator for the station during its pledge drives. So a combination of music and public affairs has been a winning formula and has improved our finances here. So I think that this is an example of successes around the network of what programming seems to generate the most revenue could be a step in what the IED and the CFO might work on as far as how to generate more income. So I do think that the individuals that are responsible for running the network do need to come up with a plan that they get the national board to endorse. That we need some kind of plan and accountability to execute on it. Doesn't have to be a perfect plan, but we've got to get a plan together. So I speak in favor of the motion.
Okay, anybody else? Who? Anybody else want to speak on this?
Yeah, there's Sam.
Sam, okay. Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to speak in favor, although I agree with everything that Ken has said. The situation is actually that we are so resigned, we are so given up, that we kind of agree that nothing is going to happen, nothing will change. So, and unfortunately, I am also in the same camp. But where do we go from here? If we don't even put a plan together, if we don't even put some kind of a template of where we want to go, how can we go? That is the dilemma that I am facing. I am not very optimistic that it will have anything, but should we let things happen by default? And we know what the default would be, basically. I mean, down the hill will be pretty steep. So how do we reverse, how do we change the course of this direction, which is going down the hill? So that is the reason why I would support this, maybe in the hope that something may change.
Okay, I'm going to call on me here. Well, I agree with everybody, which may sound contradictory, but yes, I agree that, you know, here's a motion. We've got it. We've passed many motions. A lot of people don't even remember what the motions are, and, you know, so motions are passed. I think it would be wonderful if this motion solved the problem. I don't know that it's going to. I see no actual harm in doing it because I don't think anybody's so invested in this motion that I'm not trying to speak for anybody else, but I don't think anybody imagines that this motion is in some magical way going to solve all the problems. But it isn't going to hurt. We can do it. I would like it if the interim executive director would say, look, I know a bit about radio. You guys are doing some stupid stuff. So I'm going to correct a thing here and there. He probably won't do this because he's interim. He doesn't want to, you know, have torches and pitchforks outside of his office or something. But, you know, he'll say, and change this, that, and that, and maybe it'll make things better. That would be probably good because at this point in time, you know, any kind of a crapshoot would be better because you'll have some kind of a chance. You know, it's like in a chess game when you have no room and you don't have enough pieces and the other guy's winning. Well, you might as well sacrifice a rook and see if it goes anywhere. You have nothing to lose. So I would vote for this motion because we probably have nothing to lose by voting for it. And if that sounds a little cynical, well, you know, I've been treasurer for a long time and I've been looking at this stuff happening, and why not try it? So there's my thing. I really would like it if the IED would, you know, seize the reins a bit, because otherwise I think we're going down otherwise. All right? That's it. Anybody else have something to say?
Let's Bill.
Bill? Okay, is anybody you've got one. Is anybody before Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, then Bill, go ahead.
As far as I have to say, you know, I don't want to say that only the IED and CFO have input into this. I'm sure everybody will want to provide suggestions. And, you know, when I was IED, I always welcomed suggestions. Sometimes you can't implement everything, but, you know, NFC and the PNB and the GMs, of course, who will probably end up having to implement the most of it, you know, can certainly provide input also. And, you know, it might end up being, you know, a follow-up on the plan that Sam and I put together last March. That definitely needs to be updated. But, you know, I don't know what way they'll want to go. But we got to do something to change the way we're operating. Because all we know right now, we keep doing what we're doing, Pacific is not going to be in existence another year. So we have to get serious about this.
Anybody else? Okay. All right. If there's no further debate on this, we can go to a vote. And I have to go up here and find the motion. Okay. Okay. So I'm not seeing any further debate. So we can go to. Is there any objection to passing this motion?
This is Ken. I would like to abstain.
Okay, so, okay. So the motion is, the NFC recommends to the PNB that they ask the IED and CFO to produce a short plan with appendices if needed within 3 weeks for how Pacifica can significantly increase revenue, decrease expenses, and increase listeners with the goal of becoming and staying current with all financial obligations before the end of FY 2018 and paying off Pacifica's debt within a few years. Ken Aaron. Ken?
Yeah, sorry. I abstain.
Yeah. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Nick Arena?
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Economy. Wait, he's not here. Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin. Yes. Mansoor Sabah.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg. Okay, 5-4, 1 against. 5-4, 0 against, 1 abstention. Okay, let me get up here. And 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so that brings us to motion from last meeting. Oh boy. All right, hold on a second. Okay, the motion from the last meeting, I will get in 1 second here. I get my bureaucracy set up. All right, the motion from the last meeting was... okay. We postponed it. We postponed it till now, and what we have is a motion, and I have also a there was an amendment proposed to it at that meeting, and so I will read both of those. I don't know if the maker of the amendment wants to keep it, keep the amendment in, but I'll read the whole thing. Okay, the motion...
Yes, I do.
Okay, you do. All right, so the motion... Let me put that right in. Okay, so the motion is on the floor now again. The motion from Ken Aaron. The NFC requests that the PNB adopt the following motion. Quote, whereas all assets, liabilities, and obligations associated with any of its stations and business units are property of the Pacifica Foundation, and whereas management of the foundation and each of its stations and business units are to some degree a collaborative entity, therefore be it resolved that A, no single station or business unit shall be required to stand alone for repayment of obligations acquired by any other station or business unit and or the national office, and B, major loans or similar obligations acquired by the foundation shall be repaid in an equitable fashion as prescribed and or approved by the Pacifica National Board and as may be adjusted thereby during the course of the repayment, and C, any funds requisitioned for any reason by the national office from a station or business unit in excess of those required for payment of regular obligations, such as payroll, taxes, insurance, pension plan, and scheduled central services, shall stand as credit on the ledger of the station's or business unit's obligation to the national office for central services past, present, and/or future, and D, the above stated in rule in C applies retroactively to any such funds requisitioned by the national office since January 1st, 2015, but does not apply to special national fund drives run in the past or future for the benefit of national office projects, the Pacifica Foundation, or the Pacifica Radio Archives. And that is the motion. There was an amendment, and the amendment by Bill was to delete Part C of that motion. And people can look in their emails for, I believe it was sent out on January 23rd. And if you don't see that, you can go up to the website for the mailing list and go to January 23rd, and the email with the motion will be there. So, right now there's the motion and there's amendment, and so that means the it's in order to debate this amendment right now, which is to delete Part C of the motion. Any debate?
That's Bill. Maybe I should explain it. And I guess I'd like to delete D also, because it also to C. What C does would be to have any funds requisitioned, you know, for any reason by the national office from any station to be applied towards central services. The trouble with that is that we have to do that a lot to come up with extra money for, you know, things like the pensions or for audit, to people hire people for audits or whatever. We ask the business manager, I mean the general managers, can you each contribute a special amount because we don't have enough money in the national office to do that. And if that's credited towards central services, then the next month, the national office is again end up in the hole. They won't have the money because the stations will just deduct it from the central services. So what we need sometimes is a way of getting more money to the national office. This would defeat that. It would make it, it would essentially cancel it out. So that's the reason why I was suggesting we delete C and also D. It's the same thing would apply to that. So I'm amending my amendment to include D.
Okay, so you're making another, you're making an amendment to the amendment. Okay.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
The amendment is, okay, typing with one hand. Amendment is to add, deletion of D. Okay? All right. So what we have is we have an amendment to the amendment, and that means we're filled up with amendments. The amendment that was on the floor is to delete Part C of the motion, and the amendment Bill has just made is to add section, add deletion of D, which would make the amendment be to delete Parts C and D of the motion. Is there any debate on these amendments?
This is Ken.
Yeah.
So, okay, of course, it follows if you're deleting C, you got to delete D because D refers to C and just says to apply it retroactively. So I don't think there'd be any objection to changing the amendment to make it delete C and D. But here's why I speak against that amendment. I've worked in various organizations, as many of you have, and if the CFO and the ED can just say, I need that money and take it, we are turning down to what we call a hey you organization. It's called, oh, who's got the money? Give me the money, quick. I need it over here. It means there is no national office. It's just running hand to mouth. It's grabbing. It can't manage. It can't control the stations. The stations themselves, the main reason I brought this up is there was a lot of upset at my station, because National just came in and took $30,000, $45,000, and I'm sure it happens to other stations, okay? And, I don't know if it ever happens to – I don't know which other stations it happens to. It seems to happen to our station frequently. But there is no jurisprudence. There is no protocol. There is no procedure. It's at the whim or decision of the CFO and the ED. You might just throw all accounting out the window. So therefore, what you're doing is destroying any responsibility or ownership for the operation of the station by the staff that's working there, from the general manager down. The general manager is going to throw their hands up and say, well, you know, I've been saving up money to buy some new microphones or do an ad campaign or to put on an event, and they just swooped right in here and took $40,000 to pay a bill that they had to pay off a settlement somewhere on the East Coast or on the West Coast or in Texas or somewhere else. It's got nothing to do with our station either. But at the same time, they're telling me I owe $150,000 in central services, but they just took $50,000, and they don't want to credit that against my central services. See? So it's just, hey, you. It's just moving it down to like tribalism or like a chieftain in a small group. It's silly. It's ridiculous. There should be accounting. If money flows from the station to the national office, that's a credit. It's got to be put on a ledger. If the national office covers an obligation at the station, that should be included on the ledger. You had to go into the station to fix the plumbing or pay off a legal suit or pay an obligation to the government, then put it on the ledger. But you can't just say, boom, I don't know what it was. That was last week. I have no idea what happened with the money. That's silly. It's just silly and juvenile and unprofessional. The station has to know where it sits on a game. If the station is playing a game,
like
it's managing it.
I would like
okay.
to... Okay, hold on. Let's let Ken finish, and then other people can
okay,
call.
So that's the story. There has to be accounting. As an example, another case of accounting, we raised $250,000 on a 1 or 2 day fund drive to cover for the audits. We need an accounting. Where did that money get spent specifically? specifically, was it spent on the audits or was it spent on something else? This is just normal practices in a business, accounting. Where did the money go to? And to worry about the fact that if somebody, if you took $50,000 from this station and then you said, I didn't even mandate in there that that means they don't have to pay central services next month. I said they get credit. So they could say, no, you're not excused from paying central services, but you do have a $50,000 credit up there in the future that eventually we'll try to use that. And, or, you know, well, maybe we'll lower your payment by 10% each month until we pay back that $50,000 we took from you. There has to be an accounting. It cannot be at the whim and discretion of one or two individuals. Right now, we have very responsible people as a CFO in the IED. But who knows who we're going to have in 2 years or 3 years? You know, this is silly. There has to be accounting. That's it.
Okay.
So I'm against the...
Well, I need to speak
Sam, go ahead.
Here. Well, this information is completely misleading. I can give all the numbers here. The 30,000 that Ken is talking about, basically that was a special project, and every station had agreed for that. And what Bill was saying, that this is exactly what happens because the national office is starved of money, and we have to run these special projects or special campaigns to get the money. Now, let me give an example, and then it'll make very clear. In 2015, KPFK did not have the payroll money. We loaned the money to them, and they did not pay any central services. There's a 500,000 amount that is sitting on the books at this time, and they are kind of complaining about the 30,000. So just imagine the fallacy, I don't have the right words to describe that. How can you claim 30,000 when you have not paid 500,000 and there is no inclination or no interest in paying any amount? This is a result that said we are seeing how we have stopped the national office and how nothing gets done. Basically, we can keep on talking about the hiring, or we can keep on talking about the audit getting delinquent, but when the money is not coming in, there is nothing is going to happen. And now when we pass a resolution which is going back retroactively to 2015, I don't know what it means, basically. I mean, does it mean that we take away all the money from national office, we give the credit, and now next time what happens, that no money comes in the national office. So basically we lay off people. We don't have the money. This is exactly what happened when $38,000 was allocated for the true ballot, and what happened, that the money was sent out from the KPFK account to True Ballot, and next time we did not get the central services payment. So just imagine what the intention of this resolution would be. We cannot even imagine how it can be implemented and what will be the consequence for this. So, I mean, this is such an idea that I... And let me give another example. This I have been hearing for this about 250,000 that was raised. I have replied this issue at least 10 times, but nobody is listening. Nobody is paying attention. There was not 250,000. There was total 107,000 that was received, and there was an 86,000 grant. That's it. 107,000, 86,000. I think my voice will be captured on the video this time, because I just answered this question to audit committee. 107,000 out of that, we had to pay back the dues for the audit fee that we did not pay for 2014. Then there was so many different audits that were happening, both for the retirement plan and the 403B. And we had to pay for the tax returns that were filed, 11,000 that was paid. There was just a little bit of money left that was for the consultant, the contractor that we hired. So what else accounting is needed, basically? I mean, the national office books are so open, so transparent, anybody can come and take a look. What what else accounting can we give that can satisfy anybody? I have heard this question at least a dozen times, and in my CFO report, I have reported this very clearly. This is how we have spent. But still, the question does not go away. I mean, if anybody has any doubt, probably I would suggest that, say, let's have a special audit investigation, anything of the National Office Accounting, and let's see if we can find a dollar which was misused or kind of taken away by anybody. So this is, I mean, we are going in such a wrong direction that I don't know what do we want to achieve. And that is why I kind of give up. I say that, say, this national system is not working. Let's dismantle the national office. Let's give back the accounting to the stations. Let them do their accounting. Let them figure out how much central services that they pay, whether they can have the shared services in that cost. If not, let them bear the consequences. I am not worried about my job. This structure is not going to work. That's pretty simple and clear.
Okay.
Hey guys, Mansoor, I have to go because I'm at the KPFK's fund drive and it's my time to take over the phone room.
Well, tell you what.
Okay.
You can leave. I'm not going to force you to stay.
All right, thank you.
All right. I'm going to call on me for a second and just very rapidly say this might be, okay, I'm going to vote against both amendments, and then I think I'm going to vote against the motion, one way or another. I think this is a motion that's not too different from this might be good for an organization that's in better shape than Pacifica. Because Pacifica is in a hand-to-mouth situation. Back when I was doing union stuff at BAI, the WBAI was described then, and this is like even in the 90s, as being in constant crisis mode. This is what the union people and other people said. This is how some management will work. It's always in constant crisis mode, which is a sort of chaotic emergency mode. And this is how things happen in Pacifica, and we are in a crisis mode. And when you're really in a crisis mode, you can't get too picky about some of this stuff. So I think that a motion not too different from this, if we were in better shape, would be fine and dandy. I think right now that if say the IED or whatever, somebody in management needs to pay X right now, or we're going off the air, or we're getting massive problems, or we're going to be fined $150,000 if we don't pay this $10,000 bill tomorrow. I think that it's perfectly valid for them to say, oh, geez, where's some money, and grab it wherever they can and use it. It's like plugging up the holes in the bottom of a rowboat in the middle of the ocean. You don't worry about somebody wants to keep chewing their gum. You take their gum, you stick it in the hole so the boat doesn't sink. And that's about the way it is. So those are my thoughts on it. Anybody else?
Bill,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Ken could revise it. I'm not sure. I guess I'm more worried about the cash flow. Now, if you look at the accounting, I mean, Ken's right. You can make sure that it's charged properly or, recorded properly. For all the stations except KPFA, all the stations except that one owe money to the national office anyway from previous years in varying amounts, a few hundred thousand to a few million dollars. And so if it's applied to that, it's not going to make a difference probably in the next month's central services, because you still owe money and you still need to pay the central services. I don't know what they would do to KPFA. But, for example, I don't know how we're going to get out of this Empire State Building thing if we can't somehow – I don't expect WBI to pay all of it. And so we're going to somehow have to come up with the money collectively to pay that, for example. And we're going to have to, all the stations are going to have to put up money for the pensions too. And so there's just things like that we're going to have to figure out how to pay. And I just don't want it, maybe I don't think Ken intended this, but the way I read it, it would sound like if all the stations had to pay $10,000 or $20,000 or some amount to pay some immediate obligation, and then next month they figured, well, they can just deduct that from the essential services, then the national office is going to be have a really big problem then. So we need to make sure that doesn't happen. And so if the motion could be changed to clarify that that's not kind of what's going to happen, then it might be all right. If the any special charges like that were only applied to past due central services, it wouldn't be so bad. But then you have to figure out what to do about KPFA, because I don't think they have any past due central services. So maybe the Ken, maybe the motion, I hate to say postpone it again, but maybe could it be, Ken, do you think you could revise it and bring it back next
this
time?
This is Ken. Ken, to the staff, briefly.
Okay, go ahead, Ken.
There's really two things in this. So one is the justice with monies taken from the station. That's the second part, that's C&D. But the first part is to acknowledge the fact that just because KPFK's collateral or KPFA's collateral gets used or liquidated and loans are made and so forth, it's not the station's obligation to pay that debt off. It's the Pacifica Foundation debt. So I would say if we go through the voting here, if the amendment is approved and it's removed, then the members of the committee here might decide to vote for A and B, which says that obligations are the burden of the whole station and the whole network, and they won't be just thrown on the coincidence of the station whose collateral was used to collateralize a loan. You know, in other words, if we borrow money based on KPFX, you know, whatever, the mysterious station, if we borrow money against that building, KPFX doesn't have to pay that loan back. The network has to pay the loan back. If that money was not borrowed for KPFX, it was borrowed for some other function. That's the A and B part. So I think we should just go ahead, and if the amendment works, then fine. Then we vote on the motion. I stand with that because, you know, you vote for it one way or the other. I don't want to change it. Time's wasting.
Speaking of
time, we could always come up with another motion, so it's fine.
Speaking of time, the time for this item is up.
Right.
So unless there's a motion to extend the time, we will have to go to votes on the amendments and the main motion. Does anybody want to extend the time on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we will go to. Okay, we go first to the Second Amendment, which is to amend the amendment by deleting D. So the amendment is the First Amendment is to delete C. And the Second Amendment, which is what we're voting on now, is to add the deletion of Part D. Now, does anybody need the parts read or any of that?
Mr. Chair, I think there'd be no objection to that.
Okay, I don't know what you mean. Does anybody need...
There would be... Nobody would object to the amendment.
Reading the motion. Okay.
No, of deleting D. If you're going to delete D, delete C.
Well, then if nobody wants to object to it, then nobody should start saying anything.
Okay.
I'll do it again. Is there any objection to the amendment to add the deletion of D to the amendment that says delete Part C, which would make it read to delete Parts C and D of the motion? Is there any objection to that amendment to the amendment? Seeing none. That's done. Now, the amendment reads to delete parts C and D of the motion. Is there any objection to that?
I object.
Okay. So, okay. Pardon me, folks. I'm one-handing some things here, and it's more difficult. All right. So, amendment, what's on the floor now is the amendment to delete Part C. And D of motion, to delete parts C and D of the motion. Ken Aaron.
No.
Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin. No. Mansoor Sabah. That's left. Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg. Okay. 3-4. 2 against. 0 abstentions. So that amendment, the motion passed. Hold on a second. Okay, so that's passed as amended. The motion now reads. Motion now reads. Okay. Now reads what I have to copy and not bollocks. Because I have to cut out and the motion now reads, the NFC requests that the PNB adopt the following motion. Is that how it starts? Yeah, okay. Lowercase letter. The NFC requests that the PNB adopt the following motion. Whereas all assets, liabilities, and obligations associated with any of its stations and business units are property of the Pacifica Foundation, and whereas management of the foundation and each of its stations and business units are to some degree a collaborative activity, therefore be it resolved that A, no single station or business unit shall be required to stand alone for repayment of obligations acquired by any other station or business unit and or the national office, and B, major loans or similar obligations acquired by the foundation shall be repaid in an equitable fashion as prescribed and or approved by the Pacifica National Board and as may be adjusted thereby during the course of the repayment. Now, there's the word and at the end, but I'm cutting it out because that makes no sense now. All right, that is the motion. Is there any objection to that motion?
Yes.
Okay. Second. Okay, let's get this thing copied. A second. Okay, so that's the motion. We go to a vote now. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Sam Agarwal.
No.
Nick Arena.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Abstain.
Let's see. Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin. No. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg. Okay, 1-4, 3 against, 1 abstention. Motion fails. Next, we go to new business.
I call for the orders of the day.
Well, we are in new business. So if you'd like to make a motion to adjourn, that's an order.
I motion to adjourn.
Okay, is there any objection to adjourning at this time? Seeing none, passed without objection. We are adjourned. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, R. Paul. Thanks, everybody.